Okay, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings. We're going to look at a man's life who rejected God and then turned back to God. And that God forgave him and did the things he did for him were just amazing. So 2 Kings chapter 21. Did I tell you that? And this shows the great love and the great forgiveness of God, if nothing else, but it shows us other things too. So in verse 1 it says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. What a name. You know, Manasseh, originally the first Manasseh that shows up is Joseph had twins, Manasseh and what was the other one, Ephraim. And so there was the tribe of Manasseh, but this Manasseh, he was the son of Hezekiah. And he's in the tribe of Judah. And God made some great promises to David and to Israel, especially, you know, to David. He said, you know, if you follow my word and do it, your family will be on the throne forever, and I will bless them and take care of them and all this stuff. Well, the northern kingdom split away, the kingdom of Israel, and they never had a good king. I don't think there was one king that really ever did anything worthwhile. They were all idolaters and God rejectors, and there were believers there, but the kings weren't. And then in Judah, a lot of the kings were good. Some of them were a little up and down, wishy-washy. But they weren't great except for, you know, a couple of them. Hezekiah was a great king, and he had this son, Manasseh. And it says he was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he didn't reign by himself. He reigned with his father, as far as we know, for about 10 years. And then his father died. And remember, Hezekiah got sick, and Isaiah the prophet came and said, you're going to die. And then he turned and prayed to God, and before Isaiah got out of the palace, God said, turn around and go back and tell him he's going to live, and he has 15 years more. So during this 15 years is when Manasseh started to reign. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So he was not a good guy. He didn't do what he was supposed to do, and he did what the God rejectors around them did, things that were abominations, things that were hateful to God. He did those things. Well, it's going to tell us about it, or some of it. It says in verse 3, for he built up again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. High places are shrines and places where people would worship false gods and set up idols and all that kind of stuff. And they, you know, they called high places because if they put it up on a hill or up on a mountain, they figured they were closer to the god. And he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel. So Baal is one of those false gods that was prevalent in the Middle East, and many people worshiped that god. And he built a grove. A grove is, you know, not trees, but obelisks, you know, poles. And they would go and worship them and worship there. And Ahab was the king of Israel, and he was, of course, a very evil god king, right? He was married to Jezebel, the worst of all women. Jezebel was just, you know, about as low as you could get. And and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And that means that, you know, he was into astrology. He would worship the sun and the moon and different, you know, movements of the stars and all this other stuff. So that's what it means when it says he worshiped all the host of heaven. So he didn't just have one God. He had many gods. He didn't leave any stones unturned. He wanted to make sure he didn't miss any. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. So that house of God, the temple in Jerusalem, he built altars to the false gods, even in the temple, which is supposed to be the holy place where the priests, the line of Aaron, would go into the Holy of Holies and meet God and do the atonement for Israel and all that stuff. Well, he put false gods and idols and stuff like that in the temple. And he made his son pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He did about everything he could possibly do, which God said not to do. If you go back and read in the Old Testament law, he did everything wrong. He did everything that you weren't supposed to do. You know, he had false gods. He dealt with familiar spirits. He dealt with wizards. He caused this child to walk through fire, which was, you know, part of the rituals of worshiping false gods. All kinds of crazy stuff. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. So that's what God told David and Solomon. And it was supposed to be a holy place, a place where they kept it pure and clean, and it was only reserved for worship of God. And what did this guy do? He put a graven image in, which is, what, the second commandment? Thou shalt have no graven images, right? You shouldn't make any false gods. You shouldn't make any statues. Second commandment, right? And the first commandment is what? Have no other gods before me. So right off the bat, he's breaking the first two commandments. Verse 8, neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. So God made them great promises, but they had to do what he said. They had to be obedient to God. And if they did that, they would prosper. They would never get invaded. They would never have to leave. They would never get put in subjection or any of that stuff. Verse 9, but they hearken not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. You know, of course, when they went into the promised land, what did God do? He got rid of all those other peoples because they were evil and they would have corrupted Israel. They were worshiping false gods. So God, you know, incrementally got rid of all those different peoples. But it says here that the people of Israel hearkened not to the law of Moses, and Manasseh seduced them to do evil. He seduced them. He talked them into it. He said, well, you know, this is really what we should do. And he set up false gods and false idols and all kinds of ritualistic ceremonies and looked really great to the people, and he seduced them. And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Judah, Jerusalem, and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. Wow. Did you ever have your ears tingle? I think that's a figure of speech, but, you know, it was so bad that it would, you know, just make the hairs of the back of your neck stand up. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I mean, he's going to take all the people right out of Jerusalem. He's going to clean out the place, have people invade and put people into slavery and subjection and really, wipe it out because they didn't what? They didn't obey God. They didn't stick to what God told them to do, which was have no other gods before me. Don't worship idols or false gods. Verse 14, I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done this, that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. So, God sent prophets to warn them. They could have turned back. They had an opportunity to repent. They had an opportunity to say, no, we're not going to follow this guy. But they didn't. So, moreover, and on top of all this, besides all this other evil that he did, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. Beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So on top of all the other stuff that he did, he shed innocent blood, which means he had believers, people that loved God, killed. He had people that loved God, he shed their blood, and he not only took joy in committing sin and evil, he encouraged other people to. So, now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did, his sin and that he sinned, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the king of Judah? And it says, and Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Okay, let's go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 23. Because this is the other part of the story of Manasseh. And we know that when records are in two different places, they supplement each other. They give us information maybe we didn't have from the other one. And so they help each other. They fill in the gaps in the story. So it says here, Manasseh was 12 years old in verse 1. When he began to reign, he reigned 50 and 5 years in Jerusalem. Now that's a long time.
Wait, where are we?
Second Chronicles 33. Oh, sorry. 33. What'd I say? 33. Boy, you guys are sharp. So Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign and reigned 50 and 5 years in Jerusalem. That's what we read in the first one. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So he did all these things, and 55 years is a long time to reign, isn't it? If he was 12 years and he reigned 55 years, he reigned till he was 67 years old. That's a lot of time to do evil. So it's not like the foot of God came down and smashed them like right away. God tried to persuade him and gave him a chance. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah had broken down and reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the house of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So, he gives us a little more information there. In the two courts of the Lord, he set up things to worship the host of heaven, meaning the stars and the moon and the sun and all that stuff. And he caused the children, his children, to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. So it didn't tell us that. It just said he made his son to walk through the fire. But here it says his children. His other children also. And also he observed times and used enchantments, used witchcraft, and dealt with familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So it kind of, you know, gives a summation there of what it spent more time in 2 Kings. And then it says, and he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God. So not only did he have images that were around, but he carved an image himself, of which God had said to David and Solomon, his son, in the house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, I'll put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. And we know from Kings, God didn't speak to him directly, but he did what? He sent his prophets, and he attempted to bring them back. That's one of the jobs of a prophet, is to call God's people back to God. So he sent these prophets, like in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was sent to the king, right? And he wrote that scroll, had it delivered to the king, that, you know, if you don't turn back and repent, then this all the stuff is going to happen. And the king took the scroll and ripped it up and threw it in the fire. And so then God had Jeremiah write it again. You know, it's not like God couldn't duplicate, but he added on stuff. So here God had sent prophets to call them back. And wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Fetters is chains, right? He bound him up. He was enslaved. He took him away. He's a king, and now he's like a slave or a prisoner, and he's in chains. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. So here's this guy who was a total God rejecter. He did everything possible to get God mad at him. And then when he gets taken into captivity, what does he do? He besought the Lord, his God. All of a sudden, now Jehovah is his God. That's pretty cool. He changed his mind. His heart, his mind. He turned back to God. And humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He humbled himself. He was humble to God, meaning what? He said, you know, God, I have definitely been wrong. I have sinned. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. He was humbled before God. You're the true God. It's pretty great. he humbled himself greatly. I mean, he didn't just say, okay, I'm sorry, God, let's move on. But he was truly sorry, and he asked for God's forgiveness. And he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication. It says that God heard his prayer, his supplication, his request, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. God bless you. So not only does God forgive Manasseh, but he gets him back to Israel, or back to Judah and to Jerusalem, and puts him back on the throne. What kind of forgiveness is that? What kind of God and what kind of heart? You know, this is before Jesus Christ. It's before, you know, today, you know, Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. And we have an assurance from God that if we ask his forgiveness, it says he is faithful to forgive us. He didn't have that assurance, did he? God could have said, well, too bad. It's a little late now, but he didn't, did he? Because God's grace, even then, and his love and his forgiveness was still so incredible, so amazing. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley and even to the entering in at the fish gate, encompassed about Ophel and raised it up a very great height and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed therein peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. So he did that. Nevertheless, the people did still sacrifice in high places yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also and how God was entreated of him and all his sin and his trespass and the places wherein he built high places and set up groves and graven images before he was humbled. Behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. And Amon was not very good either. But he didn't last too long. And then Josiah came in, who was a good king, and he got rid of all the bad stuff out of Israel. And it says that nobody turned back to God like Josiah. So, but it shows us the great love and forgiveness that God has for us and how it doesn't matter if we screw up. What matters is we turn back to God, because we're all going to make mistakes at times. We're all going to do something stupid or get distracted from God. But when we do, when we realize it, we turn back to him and we thank him for his love and forgiveness. He's there for us. He's there to bless us, to restore us back. He restored Manasseh. Why? I don't know, just because that's God. He loves people, and he wants to restore. He wants you to be blessed in your life. And to do it for a guy like Manasseh, you know, we could go into the New Testament. We could look at Paul. You know, what an evil guy he was and how he turned back to God, got born again and became a great man of God. God forgave him. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 2, it says in verse 1, and you, hath he quickened, is in italics. It doesn't really belong there. It says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, past tense, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, if you don't know God's word, you don't have a lot of choices in how you walk. I mean, you do the best you can, maybe. Some people do the best again, some people don't. But there's no standard for there's no standard for life. There's no direction other than, you know, the things of the world, which changes, you know, weekly sometimes, sometimes daily, you know. What's okay for the world one day is bad the next. You know, I think about some of the stuff that are pushed in the world today, and I think 20 years ago, that people would have said, this is insane. But today, it's accepted as normal. Normal is, what does normal mean? Normal is not normal. So, you know, in the time past, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of the sin. And if you don't stick to God's word, you end up walking there again. You know, the devil would love to suck you back into the world. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and you were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, rich in mercy. He was certainly rich in mercy with Manasseh. He was certainly rich in mercy. He helped him. He got when Manasseh turned back to him and beseeched him for forgiveness and humbled himself, God said, okay, good. Now let's get you back on the throne. And then Manasseh did some good stuff for God. I mean, you could say almost too little, too late. But, you know, he did turn back, didn't he? And he slept, you know, he was buried in his home. That's a big deal in the Bible, you know, when they're buried and rest in peace in Jerusalem. So, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, you know, even when we were screwed up, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And what great grace is there that we are saved? You know, we look at a man like Manasseh and you say, wow. Well, it's just as great for us. His grace for us is just as magnificent, just as wonderful. Because he's a loving God, he's a merciful God, and he's a gracious God, and he wants his best for people. Even people that reject him, if he wants them to turn back, it says that God would have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. So when you see somebody that's rotten out there, pray for him. You know, if you get the chance, you get to speak the word to him. You never know who's going to believe. You never know who's going to turn back, who's going to change their life radically and dramatically. Maybe some of us did. Probably all of us, maybe not dramatically, but, you know, just as much. Because dead in sin is dead in sin. Doesn't matter. Okay, so anyway, so what a great God. He just wants to bless us and take care of us. And it says, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places or the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, ages is, you can fill in whatever your heart desires. The ages, the you know, times to come in the future. He might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. What a great God. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and blessing us, for what a great and gracious God you are, how you watch over us and love us and take care of us. And we thank you for how you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the perfect sacrifice for each and every one of us so that we could be your children. We thank you for this day and for the joy it is to be together. And we thank you, God, for taking care of us all. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.